The Legally Brief podcast is produced by the law offices of Judy Saunders. Legally Brief is a biweekly show that offers opinions and conversations with experts on why abuse exists, what the law is doing about it, and ways survivors can reclaim their lives. If you stop right this second to rate and review this show on iTunes or your listening platform, you will do your part in spreading Legally Brief's mission of creating a world where children can play, gather, and learn free of abuse from authority figures and institutions. And now your host, Judy Saunders.
You and your athlete, you and your child have played by the rules, and now the rules are being broken. Thank you for spending a moment as we discuss this topic of when the line has been crossed and how to identify and what to do about unacceptable coaching practices. It's often the case when you get to a certain level, be it on a travel team, competitive, elite level, the time, the dedication that's been put in by your child, by you, and by other family members cannot be quantified in just hours. It's also emotional and energy. It's seeing your child struggle, maybe to learn a skill or to balance schoolwork or to balance friendships. When you advance beyond just recreational sports, your child is saying goodbye maybe to school friends. They may be going to a strict atmosphere where there's homeschooling involved. And now their friends from the neighborhood, they don't have time to play with children or outside of their elite sport. So the sacrifice and the time commitment does not merely boil down. And you've accepted that. That's part of the rule. Your child has accepted that, that's part of the rule. To reach the level that they want to compete at, to accomplish their goals, they're following the rules. They're putting in the time and they're getting results along the way. And then you start to notice, you as a parent, you as a child, you start to notice that there are things that are going wrong. You may notice there's name calling on the part of an authority figure. You may notice that there is aggressive behavior. You may notice that there's anger and tantrums on the part of authority figures, who in the case of a sport will be a coach, an assistant coach. You may notice ridiculing, humiliation of your child, your child's performance. This goes beyond corrective measures. So for example, what would be considered acceptable? Let's call the child Mikey. Mikey, when you're performing, when you're doing skill A, next time, let's try it this way. This is why you're not getting the result. This may be why you're not seeing the ball, the dive. Place whatever skill you want in that blank. That would be acceptable, positive coaching versus what would not be acceptable. Mikey, you are such a blank. I've told this to you 1,000 times. You're horrible. You deserve what just happened to you if the child was injured performing a skill. Don't you ever listen. Because an incident that has happened, be it an immediate, your first time you've noticed that an authority figure has acted out of line, has done something to harm your child, either physically, emotionally, and even sexually, you wonder, you, the child support system, you, the parent, the guardian, you wonder, how could this have happened? And what do I do about it? The authority figure, to be clear, is that person that interacts with the child. And through that interaction, there is an imbalancement in the power structure because that authority figure may have some supervisory role over the child, may be directing the child, may have the opportunity, the access, and the control to evaluate your child in a sport, in a school, in some type of setting. So there's an imbalancement in the power structure, in the power dynamic. And that's what an authority figure is. So be clear that when you're dealing in that type of situation and you're now learning that there has been an incident that has occurred, you identify that, yes, this person is an authority figure. There is some type of imbalancement. And the next thing that you will need to do is you'll understand that however you learn, whether it's through the direct discussion or knowledge with your child outcrying to you, whether it's through a report from another parent or your own observations. The organization may be notified by you, but you should understand that depending on the degree of abuse, what may be more appropriate is to make your reporting to a law enforcement agency, and by that I mean the police, outside of the sport. Your first thought will be, wait, this is too high of an escalating what has happened. If I do this, my child will be ostracized. There will not be the ability to participate in the sport. I will be seen as overreacting. If I escalate this, if I involve outside parties, what will happen? There's too many unknowns. There's too much uncertainty. Will this stop my child's pursuit of their dream? Will this cause us to be isolated from the community that we're in? These are all very valid questions and concerns. And those are questions and concerns that you'll want to speak with a professional about, be it a legal professional, be it a counselor, but some type of professional so that you can fully see the landscape of what will happen. Now, depending on the incident, if it's a one-time incident, if it's a yelling, if it's an inappropriate, reprimand by the authority figure, everything will depend on degrees. However, when you learn of your child making an outcry, or you learn through some other source that there has been sexual or physical abuse, more than likely than not, your reporting should be made to an outside agency. At present, we do not, in this culture, have institutions that will police themselves. That is a fact. The statistics, the data, and the anecdotal stories bear that out. I could name a few off the top of my head. United States Gymnastics, United States Swimming. We have the religious institutions, many of them, the most popular and that we've seen in the news, the Catholic Church, Boy Scouts of America. These are institutions where individuals have put trust. We put trust in our authority figures. We put trust in our institutions. We can also put in that different law enforcement agencies, the judicial, the court system. Trust was placed in these institutions. A contract was set up between the population. We will follow the rules, and you, institution or authority figure on the other side of this contract, you will not break the rules. Instead, you will help enforce those rules, and if they're broken by you, the institution, someone within your institution, you will take action to safeguard the individual that was harmed. However, there is a pattern where institutions and authority figures currently within our culture do a very poor job of policing themselves and the members of these institutions. And that's why I am telling you that depending on the degree, and I'm thinking immediately of instances, if an authority figure, someone within an institution, you're learning from your child that an act of sexual abuse, sexual harassment, sexual assault, some type of racial slur, psychological abuse, that is a pattern and course of conduct. For those types of instances, it is wise to go outside of the institution itself and go directly to an outside agency and be persistent with that reporting. And again, I give the disclaimer that will change your immediate normal, the immediate community support that you're getting within whatever activity that your child may be participating in, and that you will need support, be it from the legal profession, be it from a therapist, at the time you make the reporting to an outside law enforcement agency and through the process. And that is available. This is a doable thing. You cannot, however, in the alternative, merely report it to an institution and then cross your fingers and hope for the best. There are a number of individuals' reports you can read that will reveal to you that with serious instances, breaches by authority figures, violation of a child's trust, of a parent's trust, there are several cases and studies that show that hoping for the best, that an institution or authority figure will correct themselves of their own volition and of their own internal mechanisms and systems, that it does not work. And just as a small side note, I would encourage anyone that doubts that or would like to see how it plays out when an institution is informed of perpetrators within the organization and how they handle that, I encourage you to watch the recent Netflix documentary entitled Athlete A, which details, documents, and describes the very, very heartbreaking story of what went on and in United States gymnastics and the cover-up that continues to this day. And that's just one instance. There are many, many more. Parents and supporters, guardians of children, when you begin to learn of the abuse of your child, of your very dedicated athlete, there is a human need to try to put this into focus, understand, digest what happened, how could it have happened, and even there may be some blame on the part of the parent, blaming themselves. How could I have not seen this? How could I have not have done anything? This is not the time for blame. You have done nothing wrong. The second thing that may happen, and again, I am not a psychologist. I am speaking merely from what I have seen in developing cases and in speaking with individuals working on these cases. What I've also seen is that there may be some gray area that the mind may think of, or what exactly happened, and even minimizing on the part of the perpetrator authority figure, and confusion. So then you're confused as to, did the authority figure cross the line? Was it real? Did it really happen? Maybe my child is not accurately conveying the story. Maybe they got it wrong. This second part of after a parent learns what has happened can serve as a parent, you want to investigate. However, I would caution against the deep evaluation of a child telling you a story to the point where it gets to be disbelief, where you and or the child are walking back what happened and providing excuses for the authority figure. No one that loves another person and truly cares for a person wants to know that they've suffered abuse in any form. And there may be the need to rationalize it, put it in a context. If a child has told you what has happened to them, it is to listen. The deep evaluation, the deep contextualizing, maybe even trying to, like I mentioned before, walk back. Did this really happen? It's not appropriate to do at that time. For a minute, I want to just switch gears and give an idea of what is the crossing of the line so that you as a parent can have some clear idea in your mind, either now that you're going through these types of very, very stressful period, that if your child has outcried, and also to prevent and be aware. So if you have an instance of some type of sexual assault, you know, some of these gray areas may be a touching. And what do we mean by a touching? And a touching by an authority figure, some type of sexual misconduct. And I don't mean at this point, you know, the forcible rapes, some of those bright line instances where it can't be explained away or it's hard to be explained away. But let's talk a minute about touching. Touching, we usually define from the lens of a legal perspective. You know, that's the fondling. It's the touching. It's the unwanted, non-consent touching. And individuals, children of a certain age, can never consent. So it's the touching of the breast, the buttocks, the genitalia. It's the request by the authority figure to touch an individual, you know, for special rewards. And we're speaking now in the context of sports. You know, maybe a score, maybe placement on a team, maybe it has to do with additional playing time. So that may be seen. It's also, you know, the unwanted sexual misconduct. It can also include the authority figure discussing their relationships, their adult relationship with another adult, their sexual life with another adult, doing that in front of the child athlete. That's also a form of sexual misconduct. you want to be on the watch out for a coach that crosses the line when they're asking the athlete about their relationship. Depending on the age, maybe the athlete is 16 or 17 or maybe even 13, and they have what is an appropriate relationship with another child their age. And the coach begins to become involved in asking about their relationship or wanting updates about it. That's inappropriate, and that's crossing the line. We all know that the use of electronic devices, the smartphone, sending pictures to the child, inappropriate pictures, that is crossing the line. Creating a hostile environment, and that word has a special meaning under the law, but just to give you some examples, it's unwelcome, offending an individual, talking inappropriately about gender, about sex, racial slurs. I put racial slurs in. We're not talking about race right now, but that's all a part of creating the hostile environment. And remember, this type of sexual misconduct, it can be both contact, so hand to breast, hand to genitalia, and it could be non-contact, what I was speaking of, those words and the hostile environment. Those are all crossing the line. It can be forced touching. It can be non-forced. It could be, remember, children cannot consent. Also, part of crossing the line, if we go and we think about from a psychological point of view, from an emotional point of view, it is the yelling. It is the screaming. So this is an area that authority figures, all of us, you know, we live in this gray area as parents. I cannot even say, I'll take off my lawyer hat for, you know, and put on no hat for a minute and just say, you know, looking back on my time currently and in the past of being a parent, we lose our tempers. Coaches lose their tempers. What we're speaking of now is a consistent, nonstop pattern of abuse. It is a constant part of every practice session, every training session. We're yelling, name calling, throwing of cell phones, throwing of items, throwing of equipment. It is just an intense, fear-filled atmosphere. That is crossing the line. Physical intimidation is crossing the line. A authority figure using their body to invade personal space, to become large in front of the athlete, flailing, moving the hands, stomping out, stomping away. And then you also have crossing the line, one of the most insidious and harmful, not the most, one of the most, isolating the child, ignoring the child, saying that they will not spot or provide safety measures for a child. That also is a form of punishment just as detrimental as the name calling, letting that child know definitively, you are being ignored. You have made me mad and you will pay. That is also crossing the line. Throwing of water bottles, being aggressive, a coach punching the wall, kicking equipment, that is crossing the line. And these are things that you want to look out for. There is no gray area. If we are going to create real healthy environments so that these amazing, dedicated children can thrive, we have got to identify what is crossing the line and what is not. And we've got to support those coaches that do not cross the line. And in turn, those coaches are going to support the children and support the families. Those coaches that use healthy, positive measures, they are going to support this movement to provide consistently safe fields of play, gyms. They are going to support by showing up and pointing out those abusive coaches. That is how we reform this. We do not stay quiet, the good coaches, and we recognize that unacceptable is unacceptable yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Are you a law firm or an attorney who sees the value of having a child sexual practice in your area, but you understand the cost and resources to run a department can be expensive? Your answer? Outside Counsel Plan. For the cost of one-third of your hourly rates, you can have access to the training, client development, and trial skills of the Law Office of Judy Saunders. The Outside Counsel Plan provides unlimited monthly consults, skilled, compassionate interview assistance with children as young as 4 years old, signature services such as EBT, lead or co-counsel at hearings and trial also provided at value-driven rates.
I want to end by pointing out some other unacceptable coaching practices and gray areas so that parents can be aware of them, the athletes can be aware of them, and they will know when it's happening, so they will not be confused as to, well, did that happen? Maybe it didn't happen. Let's minimize if that really happened. You know, we use the term hazing. You think of, you know, having to, you're new to the team. You're the new class of the team, the new teammate, humiliating the new teammate, making them carry items for the more senior team members, making them feel degraded, publicly humiliating them. That is hazing. That is unacceptable. Depriving, you know, teammates, the newer individuals of sleep. If you're traveling, you know, calling them names, either gender-based, what I call gender-raging names. Oh, you're such a, it usually begins with a P. This is a, we try to keep this a PG-13 show. Hitting, that is hazing. Excessive training and conditioning for no legitimate purpose can be hazing. We spoke a little bit about, in some forms of harassment. Be clear. Harassment comes in many forms, and it's also showing it some type of bias or dominance over someone and using that perceived or real dominance to make that individual feel in fear, feel the law would call it alarmed and annoyed. And you're doing that on a persistent basis. The authority figure is doing that. That is harassment. Bullying. Bullying can come in the form of in-person bullying that's happening by the authority figure. You also can see, beware, I'll insert this, beware of authority figures that will use assistant coaches. They will use other teammates to also cross the line and do this work for them. You will have coaches that have relationships or favoritism with certain members of the team, and you could see the authority figure using those individuals to harass, bully, haze, intimidate another teammate. That is very common, and it is the authority figure that is crossing the line. So document that, be aware of that, and that is something that has to immediately be addressed, because that is crossing the line. Those were some examples of what is unacceptable behavior by an authority figure, so that in your mind, there is your mind being that of the parent or the support system for an athlete, there is no gray area as to that, as to what is unacceptable. And also to any athletes that are listening to this, you are validated in how you feel and in what you have endured, because you know within yourself that the line has been crossed. And regardless of what is being said to you, either by coach or by friend or by teammate or someone who you believe to be part of your support system, you know within yourself that the line has been crossed. And sometimes under certain circumstances, you may have to go outside of the institution, the organization, and the authority figure themselves and seek help, redress from a law enforcement agency. You can also, as I was saying before, go over your options so that you can get a broader understanding of what will happen when the reporting takes place, and so that you can prepare yourself for the new normal that you can do, because you've already shown how dedicated and how amazing you are as a person. Thank you for spending this time with me on the Legally Brief podcast. Do not forget to rate and review. Leave us a comment. I read them all. And come on over to the Legally Brief Facebook group, where we ask a question of the day, and we invite you to, if you want to, confidentially share your story, leave a bit of advice for someone else that may be going through it. We're all just one step ahead of each other, and I enjoyed reading everything that's posted there, and look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Legally Brief podcast. Remember to join Judy and fellow listeners at the Legally Brief Facebook group. Contact Judy at judy@jsaunderslawfirm.com. Remember, there is no keener revelation of a society's soul than the way it treats its children.
All information and content in this podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. Nothing in this podcast shall constitute legal advice and shall not create an attorney-client relationship. This information is general and may not be applicable to your particular circumstances. You should review your particular circumstances with an attorney. All liability with respect to actions taken or not taken based on the contents of this podcast is hereby expressly disclaimed.